Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
We are going to look at Psalm 128 tonight. We're in a series on the Songs of Ascent. I'm going to wrap it up tonight because next week I'm going to pass the baton off to Brother Gary, and he's going to bring the Word, and I'm looking forward to hearing from him. You guys don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss supper at the Well. It's going to be fantastic. Gentlemen, if you've not signed up for Strong Men on Saturday, that's our first one of the year. We also have a Super Bowl party on February 9th. In Scottsboro that we'd love for you to come and be a part of with us. Go Bills. I'm hoping that the Bills beat the Chiefs and they play the Commanders in the Super Bowl and beat them badly. That's my prayer. That's my hope. So if y'all would fast and agree with me, I want to see Josh Allen get his first Super Bowl. My son Bo and I are big Bills fans. So, and why, you might ask? Because we like Josh Allen. That is why we're Bills fans. So, all right, Psalm 128. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen. I want to read this whole chapter, and then just like last week, we're going to read a few verses of another chapter as well, two chapters later, Psalm 130. What I've tried to do last week and this week is, since we're doing a series on the Songs of Ascent, but we don't have time to go through all 15 of them. In fact, Marla, would you put the 15 of them up there for me real quick? I'm sorry, I'm jumping around on you. There's 15 Songs of Ascent from 120 to 135, and I would encourage you to go. We don't have time to go through every single one of these because next month I'm going to jump into a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights, and you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great study, I believe, together as the body of Christ. But if you want to study, maybe take a picture of this, or I can get it to you if you want it. Just these are the themes of these different psalms, and some of them have themes that are the same. And so I picked two of them because I want to talk more about a topic than just one chapter out of this. So Psalm 128, the writer says this. This is not one that David wrote. This is one of the anonymous 10 Songs of Ascent that we have in this passage. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Can I just say that again? Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord our God, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? The psalmist is asking, if God were to literally keep a record and not forgive our iniquities, not one of us would be able to stand before God. It's only by his grace that we have the opportunity to find forgiveness. And it's resolved in verse 4 by saying, but there is forgiveness with you. Why? That you may be feared. Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you for these two psalms and this group of psalms, these 15 songs of ascent, that we've looked at them, these pilgrim praise songs. Lord, I pray that as we close out this study on this tonight, that we would not neglect to keep in mind what we've learned, what we can retain and know, God, not just what is written in your word, even though that is strong and is powerful, but how the word has come alive to us to realize how we can apply it to our life. And so I pray for your grace tonight to be upon me. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that can only come from you. God, it's not of me, it's only by your grace. And I ask that you would give the hearer ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This book of Psalms is one of my favorite books in the Bible for many, many reasons. But one reason that I love the Psalms is the diversity and versatility of the Psalms. You know, there's some books that you read as you... How many of you have ever read the Bible through the whole thing? That's great. If you haven't, it's always a good time to do it. It's always a good time to start. There are some books that it's all living, it's all active, it's all applicable to our lives, it's all beneficial. But when you read Psalms and you realize that there's 150 chapters in there that was written, it's one of the only books, it's not the only book, but it's one of the only books that was written and compiled by multiple authors. You have David and you have Solomon and you have Moses has a psalm in there, and you have the sons of Asaph and the sons of Korah, and you have all these different people that wrote these psalms, and it comes together in this beautiful, harmonious way. And in this book of Psalms, you know, there's the Pentateuch, and then there's the prophets, and then there's the historical books in the Old Testament. There's the poetry books, and Psalms would fall definitely into the poetry. But what I love is as I read the Psalms, we have both prophecy, prayers, and praise. We have theology, history, and typology. We have correction and encouragement. We have transparency and examples of strength. There's so much as you read the Psalms to see, like, wow, this is not just a bunch of songs and a bunch of poetic, artistic people that, you know, threw some words together and got their harps out and strummed along, and well, this sounds good. But there's so many great things in the book of Psalms. And in this compilation of hymns, poems, and praise anthems, we find 15 songs of ascent that are meant to invoke emotion. That's one thing I hope that when you read the Psalms, you get the emotion behind what's being said. Like when the psalmist said, God, I hope you kick their teeth in, right? That's very an emotion. That's a very emotional phrase. That's something that you just kind of go like, man, I really wish God would just kind of kick their teeth in. That'd be neat. He's like, no, you can feel the emotion that's behind, like, God, I need you to vindicate me. Or when the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you've ever experienced want in your life, you can lean into that and go, wow, David found what he needed to sustain him in Jesus as being his shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All these things that we can feel in our emotions. So these songs, they invoke emotion and also heartfelt cries of longing for the presence of God. I hope that as we've talked about this, that we realize that as they talk about journeying to Jerusalem, they were longing to get there because that's where the presence of God was. They didn't have the opportunity to experience the presence of God in their home, in Bethlehem or in Nazareth or in Capernaum. They had to travel to Jerusalem and become pilgrims just to get a taste of the house of God. Yet here we are, and we have access to God 24/7, and we have the truth that in his presence, there's fullness of joy, and we can, when we prepare our hearts in the right way, we can encounter the presence of God that they didn't even get to go into the Holy of Holies. They had to hear about it from somebody else. We can come into the very presence of God. And so tonight's our last sermon on these series, but I want to encourage you to keep the practice of coming to church prepared. One of the purposes of these psalms that I believe, these songs of ascent, is the reason they would sing on their way to Jerusalem is so they were ready to worship when they got to Jerusalem. And I've encouraged you, worship on your way to worship. Pray on your way to prayer. Praise on your way to praise. Meditate on the word on your way to receive the word. Come to church prepared. I want to look at that. I want to talk about that word prepared. The word prepared means made ready for use. I want to encourage you, when you are preparing and getting ready to come to church. And obviously, we should take time and effort to make ourselves presentable in the natural. But I want to encourage you, prepare yourself to be used by God on your way to church. Don't just think, Spencer's the pastor, he'll take care of it. Jeff's the worship leader. Becky will lead us into the presence. Millie will get us there. You know, the other pastors or the deacons or the leadership team, they'll take care of it. No, you prepare. You get ready when you go to church. Make your heart fixed upon God and say, God, is there any way that you can use me today? I want to be ready. Because when you're not ready, you might get passed over to be used. Because here's the bottom line. When you ain't ready, you ain't ready. John Wooden, the great basketball coach for UCLA, said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. That's why we got to be ready. Come to church ready. Could you imagine what service would look like this Sunday morning if we all came ready to be used? Now, I understand a part of church is receiving. I receive every time I come to church, even though hopefully I'm pouring out and I'm ministering. And there's a part of receiving. But the Bible says, Jesus himself said, Paul quoted, he said, our master, our savior, our rabbi said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. What would church look like if you came here not just going, what can I get out of church, but what can I put into church? And I'm not just talking about filling the planning center schedule for the nursery and for the worship team and for greeters. I'm talking about for praying for the person that's going to be sitting in front front of you and behind you and next to you on your way to church going, God, would you touch the people around me? Could you use me as a vessel of sanctification and honor and your anointing? God, could I lay hands on the sick today and they recover? Could I speak a prophetic word of exhortation and comfort into people that are around me? Could I be the friend that somebody has been praying for? Could I give a hug that brings healing? Could I be the person that was whatever they need? It's what we were talking about at Tribe Night. Don't just look out for your own interests. Look out for the interest of others. And that shouldn't be put on the back burner when we come to church. That's not just a when we go out into the world type of thing. We should come here going, how can I make the greatest impact wherever I am? Because you're a vessel that God wants to use. On Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, on your way to church, don't just worship, don't just praise, even though those are important. Pray, God, make me ready to be used by you. Because he's looking for willing vessels. Somebody needs a prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says that prophecy, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to all men. Are you going to be the person that would give that edification, comfort, or exhortation? Somebody needs a friend. Are you prepared to be a friend? Somebody needs to be healed. Have you asked God to make you ready? Somebody needs love. Would you give the love? You know, you may say, well, I'll never preach. I'll never prophesy. I'll never sing. I'll never pray. I'm scared to death of the microphone. I don't want anyone to see me. Yeah, but you can love people. You can love those babies in the back. You can stand at the front door and say, welcome. We're so glad to see you. Welcome home to the Well Fort Payne. We'd love to have you. You can stand behind somebody with their hand up needing a miracle on Sunday morning and lay your hand on their back. And as Jesus was moved with compassion, you can be moved with compassion and be a conduit that he can flow through to touch that person's life. Somebody needs advice. You know, the number one fear in America is public speaking. And I said earlier, you may never stand behind this. That's fine. Some people are called to, some people are not. That's okay. But you may be a one-on-one type of person that you can sit down over there on Sunday morning over a cup of coffee and somebody all of a sudden, you say, how you been doing? What's been going on? And they say, well, you know, this is going on with Joe Jr. and I don't really know how to deal with it. And he's having an attitude or he's, you know, and you might be able to give them some sage, godly advice that saves their relationship with their child or their marriage. But you got to say, God, prepare me. Because if you're not prepared, you're not prepared. You're not ready. What does being prepared look like? Well, I want to change the phrasing around a little bit. Instead of looking at it as P-R-E-P-A-R-E-D, we can look at it this way, being prepared, being paired with, in fact, Zach, would you grab the Bluetooth speaker that Brandon has back there? It's gray with a wood panel on the front of it. That on our, when we are going to work or we're going to church, we should be not just getting prepared mentally, not just getting prepared emotionally, but we should be getting prepared with the Holy Spirit, getting in sync with him. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that we should walk in the Spirit. That word walk speaks of being in sync with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a Bluetooth speaker, and I have no doubt that you know how to use one of these. You probably have one, or maybe when you get into your car, is there anything more annoying than getting in your car, and you're in the middle of a phone call, and your phone connects to your Bluetooth, and then the other person's going, hello, hello, can you hear me? Are you there? And you're like, yeah, my phone just connected to my car. Hang on, give me a second. But this Bluetooth speaker here, it works only, and I can only play music after I have paired it. Now, once I find it in my devices, there it is, and it connects, I can play music. So, I want you to see it this way. We sang that song tonight. It's not prophetic. I played it earlier in the drum cage when we were practicing. I want you to imagine this is you, and this is God. This speaker cannot produce music on its own. It must have a source. Even though it has the capability of producing music and getting really, really loud. What did I do? I changed the song. I don't know. Was this, that song wasn't over? How do you do that? Okay, I'm figuring this thing out. And you're going to have to figure it out with God as you go along. You're going to mess up sometimes. You just ask for forgiveness. But even though this speaker has the ability to produce and be very loud or be very quiet, it cannot do it on its own until it's been paired to a source. So when you are coming to church, if you want to be used by God, let me turn this off so that we don't have music going on the whole time. I was a youth pastor long enough to know eliminate any distraction when you are speaking to people. But that word paired, when we talk about being prepared, just like I paired my phone to this device, and then what I played for my phone came through the device, that's how it works when the Holy Spirit works through us. That when we get prepared with Him, we become the vessel, but He remains the source. We're not the source of somebody's miracle. We're not the source of the prophecy or the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or the discerning of spirits. We're simply the vessel or the conduit that God is working through. When we choose, I want to be prepared with you. So pray that on your way to church. Prepare my heart and prepare me with you, Holy Spirit. That word paired means two corresponding things designed for use together. Think about it this way. God designed you to use you. Just like Elon Musk designed Tesla vehicles to work the way he wants them to work, God designed you the exact way he wants you to work. He put giftings and abilities and talents and strengths and even weaknesses inside of you that he can use for his glory. And those two, you and God together, can correspond and be of use. We're the body. And as his body, he wants to use us to minister to one another. I believe this. If church is important enough to attend, then it's important enough to take seriously. So I'm saying when you come here, be prepared. Be ready. It's not just like, yeah, it's church time. If I don't want to be somewhere, I'm not going to go usually because I'm a grown man. I make my own schedule. I can go where I want. Now, there are obviously responsibilities that everybody has, but church is not something that you have to be at. Church is something that you are choosing to come to. No one held a gun to your head and said, come to go to church tonight. I don't know your situation at home between your spouses, but I'm guessing no one was brought here under those pretenses tonight. You came here of your own free will and accord. If so, you know, blink twice if you need help, okay? All right, we're good. But you chose to come here. And if you chose to come here, if it's important enough to come, then it's important enough to take seriously. Did your mom ever tell you if it's worth doing right? That's how I feel about church. If it's worth having, let's do it right. That's why we believe in excellence and giving God our best, and we try to keep the place clean and orderly, and we have a service order, and we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way, but we try to do things the right way is because we want it to be done right. And we should expect God to move, and we should anticipate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But one of the reasons that I believe that we don't see the gifts of the Spirit at work, and don't worry, I haven't forgotten that we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit next month. I'm just trying to get us ready for that, okay? Because I want to end this, and then Brother Gary's going to give us a great segue into that, because I know he's going to listen to the Holy Spirit and share that. But one of the reasons we do not see the gifts of the Spirit work through us in our life is obviously because we're not prepared and prepared. But I think that the other reason is just plain old-fashioned fear. We're just afraid. But my Bible says, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So know this, if you have fear, it did not come from God. And also know that if you are walking in fear, God will gladly eradicate that fear in your life. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Yet here's what happens. Fear controls us, and here's how it manifests. Fear manifests in insecurity and inferiority. Well, I'm not a pastor. Well, I don't know enough of the Bible. Well, I can't pray out loud. Well, I don't know all the right things to say. And here's what it does. Fear robs us of being used by God and other people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, receiving what they need from God because we're not prepared. Or because we give in to fear. I want to say this about this church. Let it never be said that someone came to the well and left thirsty. This is a place where people can come and drink from the fountain of life. That they would leave saying, all my springs, all my fountains, as the psalmist said, are in you. And I want to say this, that's not all up to me. I try to prepare, but we need each other. It can't all rest on the pastoral team and the deacons and the volunteers. It takes all of us. The gifts and the ministries come from God, but they are meant to come through you and me, just like the phone and the Bluetooth speaker. You remember when Jesus had been speaking and teaching to the people for hours and hours, a multitude of people. They'd followed him around. In fact, as the story goes, Jesus and his disciples were on their way to a little vacation. Jesus said, let's get away from here and let's take some time and let's rest. And the disciples are like, finally, we can chill out. And when they get to the shore, people are already waiting for him. And Jesus pours out and he preaches and he teaches and for hours and hours. And finally, he says, hey, everybody's hungry. And the disciples say, well, you know, we should send him into the town, Jesus, to get something to eat. And Jesus looks at him, he says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And they go, we don't have anything but five loaves and two fish. Jesus says, that's enough, bring it to me. And Jesus creates order. He has them sit down. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. He multiplies the bread. And then the Bible says that all of the people left filled, 5,000 men, not including the women and children, and there were 12 baskets picked up of the fragments left over. Everybody left filled. Why? Because thankfully somebody, Jesus, came prepared. Thankfully somebody wasn't afraid and didn't go, well, that's not enough food, but they allowed God to work. He allowed God to work through him. Jesus said, the same works that I do and greater works will you do because I go to my Father who is in heaven. And so I believe that God wants to use us to give people something to eat. But I can't do it all. I can't do all the feeding. You can't do it all. But God can use all of us together. But fear, going back to this, is a robber and is a liar. So here's the question. How do we combat fear? I'm glad you asked because I did not forget that we read Psalm 121 and 128 and 130 earlier. We combat fear with the fear of God. The fear of God is the greatest weapon in destruction, in the destruction of the fear of man. So we do it this way. We fear God more than we fear man. Sometimes I think we're so afraid. And I've done this before. I remember when I was about 17 years old, I went to the mall. Y'all remember malls? I couldn't tell you the last time I went to a mall. But I remember I went to the mall and I was by myself and I walked past this guy and the Holy Spirit said, go pray for him. I'd never seen this guy in my entire life. And so I turned around and I said, hey man, my name's Spencer, and I introduced myself. Now, let me give you some preface by saying this. As a teenager, I was probably one of the most shy people that you could ever meet. I was not very outgoing. Now I love to talk to everybody. You ask my wife, my children, when I go in places, they say, please don't go in there and chit-chat because I'll just start talking to anybody. But back then, I was not a very outgoing person. And it would have scared me to death to pray for my best friend, much less to pray. I didn't even have a best friend. That's how shy and backwards I was. But it would have scared me to death to pray for, you know, somebody, just walk up to them in the church and go, hey, can I pray for you? But the Holy Spirit said, pray for that guy. And so I went and I introduced myself, and I don't remember his name, I don't remember, but I said, is there anything I can pray for you about? And he was like, yeah, actually, and he said, I've got this going on, honestly, I do not remember what it was. And I remember my voice shaking the whole time I prayed, Lord, I pray that you would help so-and-so. And I was scared to death, but I did it anyways. And I believe that that was a step towards God helping me overcome the fear of man in my life, that he let me do it. I don't know what happened with that guy. I'm sure God took care of him because it wasn't me. I was just, God was the source. I was the conduit. But I think it was as much for me as it was for that guy. And sometimes the fear of man, think about it, it would have robbed that guy of getting, hopefully, a touch from God. And so we have to fear God more than we fear man. Secondly, we have to fear God more than we fear the unknown. Another reason that we don't go is we're like, God will put it on your heart, hey, I want you to go pray for that person. You're like, I don't know what to say. That's the unknown. What am I going to, or I want you to go prophesy to that person. Well, that's just to edify, comfort, and exhort, but it needs to come from God in order for it to be beneficial for those people's life. But that is very scary when God puts that on your heart. And we're going to pray for you in a minute, Marshall. I forgot earlier, but we're going to pray for you. Marshall, we're going to pray for, he's been battling some, just being out in the cold and coughing, and we're going to break that off and pray for you and believe in, for healing. And anybody else after service that you need prayer, we will anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, and pray for you. But sometimes God will call you to do something, and you will say, well, I don't know what to do. And it's like we talked about Sunday morning, where God said to Abraham, or Abram at the time, get out from where you are to a place that I will show you. In fact, Jesus told the disciples, he said, when they take you before the courts and they drag you in there, don't worry about what you're going to say and don't prepare beforehand, because in that very moment, the Holy Spirit will show you what it is that you are to say. But sometimes we let the fear of the unknown, I don't know what I'm going to say. And you rob yourself of being able to be used by God, and you rob the other person of receiving a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a prophecy, or wise advice. We fear God more than we fear failure. Sometimes it's not that we're scared that we don't know what to say. It's we're scared that we will add to or take away, or we'll fail, or we'll mess it up, or we'll stumble over our words, or our voice will shake while we're doing it. You know, last night we were having prayer. We have prayer every Tuesday night. Y'all come pray with us sometime from 6 to 7. We don't do this every time, but I left the microphone up here and just said, hey, if you want to come pray, come pray whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And I think that those times are so wonderful for people to be able to grow in a safe environment, that they can come up and they can face the fear of failure and say, God, I fear you because I feel like you're putting this on my heart, and I fear you, and I would not want to disappoint you or be disobedient to you. And even though I'm afraid that I'll say it wrong, or I won't, you know the right, you know, bibliology or the right context, but I'll go up and I'll be obedient to do what you've called me and asked me to do, right? So we fear God more than we feel failure, and we fear God more than we fear uncomfortability. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in the ministry now since Madison and I got married, which is going on 13 years. There are still things that God asked me to do that I'm very uncomfortable to do. I'm sure Brother Damon could tell you he's been in the ministry for a long time, 40 years. 40 years. I can't believe you're even 40 years old. That's wonderful. He's been in the ministry for 40 years, and I'm sure there's still times that God will ask him to do something, maybe like moving to Alabama and leading the Hope House, that seems uncomfortable, right? I'm sure Brother Gary will tell us some stories next week. Brother Jim, Pastor Lauren, people that have been walking with the Lord. My dad's been walking with the Lord for longer than I've been alive, over 30 years, and still there are things that God calls people to do, just like Abraham. And in fact, I could give you an example. Circumcision. I didn't talk about it Sunday morning, but Abraham, and he circumcised his entire household when he was a full-grown man. That is uncomfortable in the natural. But also, God will call you to do uncomfortable things in the spirit as well. But we have to fear God more than we fear being uncomfortable. Psalm 128, let's get to the text, says that whoever fears the Lord and walks in his ways is blessed. That Hebrew word blessed means happy. The psalmist promises this as we look at it. Happiness, wellness, a fruitful wife, healthy children, and even the opportunity to see your children's children. All wrapped up as a benefit package for those who fear Jehovah. Psalm 130 tells us the fact that God does not mark our iniquities but chooses to forgive, so that we can learn to fear him. What does that mean? I'll give you an analogy, an example of what that means. That God forgives us so that we'll learn how to fear him. You ever been driving down the road, not minding your speed, going just a little too fast, and all of a sudden you pass a state trooper or a sheriff or a police officer, and you hope to God it's a Jackson County sheriff and not a DeKalb County or wherever you are, you know, you're like, I hope that's a Fife cop just on his way to work, right? We drive down Blue Pond Road, and a Fife police officer has bought a house there. And every time I come around this little corner and I see his car, now I know. And so now I don't even slow down. I'm just being honest. But the first two times I saw it, I'm like, whoa, and I was hitting those brakes. I was like, oh, he's just a Fife police officer. This is Sylvania. We're good. But I do need to watch my speed on Blue Pond. And so you pass the police officer, and they come after you, and they turn those lights on. Is there anything like your heart dropping in that moment? I don't know about y'all, but it's like my dad saying, go to your room all over again. It's the worst feeling in the world. And they pull you over, and they always ask a question, you know, and I love our police officers. I really do. You know, do you know how fast you were going? Like, obviously not. Obviously you do. Now, no, sir, I don't. Or yes, sir, I do. I probably was going a little fast. Whatever you say. But they're like, well, I won't, you know, they go back to their car and you wait those excruciating few moments. And they come back and they go, you know what? I'm going to let you go this time. But you need to watch your speed, right? And then they let you go. Well, even though they didn't give you a ticket, they forgave you, they gave you mercy, but at least for the next week or two, you're more mindful of your speed, are you not? So they give you mercy, but they teach you to fear them in that moment. Not in a bad way, in a good way. Speed limits are there for a reason. They're there for safety. They're there to be obeyed. We should obey the law of the land. But the fear and the dread and the anxiety that you had because you were guilty are gone because of mercy. That feeling of when that goes in the pit of your stomach and they go, I'm going to let you off. You're just, you feel 1,000 pounds roll off of your back, don't you? How many of you guys have ever had that happen before? Okay, so I know that who the speeders are. Okay, that's all right. I'm in the camp right there with you guys. I got a heavy foot. But it teaches you to respect the law and to watch your speed, at least for a time. But God forgives us in the spiritual, even though he knows we were guilty, so that we can go, oh my goodness, I felt so guilty, but now I have a greater respect for you because you gave me mercy and because you forgave me. Now, I want you to see that the fear of the Lord is not an Old Testament only doctrine. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, do not fear those who kill your body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him, capital H, speaking of God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So Jesus teaches us about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is meant to keep us in God's perfect plan, and in doing so, keeps us in position for his blessing and his provision. Because remember, the one who fears the Lord, they're blessed. God will, he blesses the fruit of their, they have a fruitful wife, their children. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, or not 1, it's later on, but it's when God is talking to Cain. He says, if you do well, you'll be rewarded. But if you do not do well, sin crouches at the door and its desires for you, but you should rule over it. The fear of the Lord is not meant to make you scared of God, but it's meant to empower you to overcome temptation and to live victoriously over the fear of man. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:26 that in the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. So we're seeing all these benefits that come from fearing God. And if you want, as I begin to wrap up tonight, let me just say this. If you want to grow in the fear of the Lord, I have some suggestions for you. Number one, it's a book called The Fear of the Lord by John Bevere. And if you've never read it, I would highly encourage you reading that book. He's an incredible teacher of God's word. In fact, in Ephesians, it says that he himself, speaking of Jesus, gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. John Bevere has the office of a teacher as powerful as anyone that I have ever known. And if you've never read or listened to his stuff, in fact, if you don't like reading, you can listen to it. He has the whole sermon series, The Fear of the Lord. It's long, but it's good. And I remember sitting in my apartment when I was in ministry school and just devouring his teachings on the fear of the Lord. And it changed the way that I viewed God. And I think that it would be a great resource for you. Obviously, I can't in 45 minutes tonight. I don't want to turn this into a hostage situation where you guys are, you got people calling you. Are you okay? But obviously in 35, 45 minutes, I can't give you the full rundown on the fear of the Lord. And I wouldn't even begin to imagine that I could even scratch the surface of what he touches in that book. So I would highly encourage The Fear of the Lord by John Bevere. You also, I would encourage you to do this. Do a comprehensive biblical search of the phrase, the fear of the Lord, in the Old and the New Testament. If you've never done Bible study, that is a great way to do it. Do a topical study and just dig deep. Go to Bible Gateway and type in fear of the Lord in the search bar and just see everywhere that it pops up in Scripture and cross-reference it and look up the Hebrew definition of what fear is and the Greek definition of what fear is and read some commentaries on it and just really fill yourself up. If you want to, I truly believe this, the more you know, the more you can grow. And so I think a lot of times, and I talked about this on Sunday morning a little bit, sometimes we want everything given to us as believers. God, give me more faith. God, give me the fear of the Lord. And I believe that God gives good gifts to his children, but I also believe that the more that you know, the more you can grow. And it's our job, just like in Acts chapter 17, it says that those that were in Berea were more fair-minded than those that were in Thessalonica because they sought the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. We should be daily students of the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to give you a little bit of a head start. Sunday, I'm going to announce we're going to try our best in the month of February, starting Sunday, February 2nd, to do a church-wide Bible reading plan. We're going to have two different plans you can do. You can read the whole New Testament in 26 days. That's 10 chapters a day. Or you can read the four Gospels in 26 days. And so you get to choose. You bite off how much you want to chew. If you want to be very aggressive, read the whole New Testament in 26 days. I'm doing it right now with a group of friends, and it's been absolutely amazing. And I'm going to share some of the benefits from it on Sunday morning as we lead into next week, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to tie them together. But I would encourage you to do a deep, in-depth study. If you want to grow in the fear of the Lord, the best way to do that is find out what does the Bible say about the fear of the Lord. Don't just listen to what I say. They sought these things daily to see if they were so. So the more you know, the more you can grow. Search the scriptures and search them desperately. The Hebrew word for fear in this specific passage in Psalm 128 is yare, and it means to fear or to revere. And so I want to encourage you as we talk and we wrap this up by talking about the songs of ascent. The songs of ascent, we're ascending to Jerusalem. I want to say this, come to the house of the Lord in reverence, in respect, and in awe. I believe that the house of God, yes, this is just a physical building, but we choose to honor it as the house of God. We have reverence for the house of the Lord. That's why we're careful about what we do here, what kind of events we host here, what we you know, allow to take place in this facility, because it should be a place of respect. It should be a place of honor, not out of legalism, but out of the fear of the Lord. And so don't be lackadaisical, don't be apathetic, but when you come to church, take it seriously. God, prepare me. Holy Spirit, I want to be prepared with you, and I want to take it seriously. You know why? Because this is his house. And when I come to his house, this is his time. Just like if you invited me over for supper, and if you do, I hope you're a good cook. If you invite me over for supper, I don't come over and tell you what we're going to do when I get there, right? Have you ever had someone do that? They come over to your house. That'd be very weird, right? And they're like, okay, I figured we'd start with dinner, and then we'll play some games, and then maybe end it with a movie. And you're like, this is my house. What are you talking about? Like, I invited you over, right? This is God's house, and he has invited us to be a member of it. Our job, my job especially, I feel like, is to go, God, what do you want to do Sunday morning? What do you want to do, Holy Spirit? Because I believe that when we take him at his word and we fear him, there's more blessings than we could ever count. So my encouragement to you is come to church ready to be used. Don't let fear keep you from what God has for you. I'll say this, fear God and watch him do wonders. I believe that if we live in the fear of the Lord, he will do signs and wonders and miracles, and they'll follow us. You know, the problem with, not the problem, I don't want to be judgmental, but usually there's two different camps in Christianity these days. There's the miracle camp and there's the non-miracle camp, or we'll call them cessationists. They believe that God, and some people are miracle hunters. They want to run from this conference to that conference. I just want to see the healings. I just want to see the deliverance. I just want to see the gift of tongues. And the Bible says that signs and wonders and miracles will follow those who believe. We're not called to follow the signs and the wonders and miracles. We follow Jesus. He's the only one that the Bible tells us to follow. Paul said, imitate me, but only as I imitate Christ, right? And so we can't run to this. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a conference and see God do wondrous things. I'm just saying check your heart and make sure you're seeking him, because those things are supposed to follow us, not the other way around. And so let's fear him and watch him do signs, wonders, and miracles. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Father, I thank you for the word of God that cleanses, heals, instructs and guides, and I pray that these things, we would ponder them in our heart just like Mary did, and I pray that as we come to church, we would come prepared, ready, not afraid, but knowing that when we fear you in the fear of the Lord, as Proverbs 14:26 says, there is strong confidence. And Lord, I pray that we would walk in that confidence, not in ourselves, but in you, and that you would use this body. Lord, I pray for every person. In fact, if you're saying, I want to be used by God, God, prepare me for use. Make me ready for the master's use. Would you just lift your hands with me tonight? I've got my hands lifted. God, we're saying, use us for your glory. Use us here at church. Use us at work. Use us at home. Use us in the marketplace. Use us when we're with family. God, we want to be used by you. And so we're asking, prepare us. Make us ready. Show us, God, we're not ridding ourselves of responsibility. Show us what it looks like to get ready. God, if that is taking on a more aggressive Bible plan, if that is waking up early to pray and to seek you, if that is fasting one day out of the week, if that is going without a certain TV show or a certain app on our phone so that we can devote more time and mental capacity to you and knowing you and seeking you, then God, so be it. Because we want to be used by you. We say like Isaiah said, send me, I'll go. God said, who shall I send? Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah's like, over here, I'll go. Don't look over me, don't pass over me. God, I'll go for you. God, we say, here we are. Would you use us for your glory? God, to speak prophecy, to give words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of healings, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues. God, would you use us? We are ready and we are willing, but you're the source. We're just the conduit. Have your way in our midst. We long for you and we want you in our midst. God, we say this is your house. It's respected. It's holy. It's set apart as unto you. And may we live in the fear of God and watch you do signs, wonders, and miracles and bring blessing into our life. God, we don't serve you for the blessing, but as we serve you, we thank you that you are so good that you bless us. And we honor you tonight in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you live and operate in the fear of the Lord and be used by God to make a difference in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you guys so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Gentlemen, we hope to see you Saturday morning. And if not, Sunday morning. Love y'all.